And now for some analysis of what the report might mean, we turn to Michael O'Hanlon. He's a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. And welcome back to Day to Day, Mike.
Nice to be with you.
First, let's hear from the president. He made a statement this morning on the report as it was presented to him.
We in government have an obligation to do everything in our power to safeguard the American people. And the report that they are about to present to me puts out some very constructive recommendations. And I look forward to studying their recommendations and look forward to working with responsible parties within my administration to move forward on those recommendations.
Now, the president said he wants to move forward on those recommendations, but how seriously do you think this report is going to be taken? Do you think it'll end up, like so many others, on a shelf somewhere gathering dust, or will we see real changes as a result?
Well, I think it will be taken seriously in its central recommendation, especially for the creation of this national intelligence czar. Whether or not President Bush ultimately agrees with that recommendation is the question. I don't think he can afford to sort of give casual attention to this, brush it off, and not bother to form an opinion. He's going to have to decide whether he agrees or not.
Now, you mentioned this terrorism czar, a cabinet-level czar, which is one of the recommendations. There are a number of other recommendations in the report that would streamline intelligence gathering and terrorism oversight. For example, a new joint House-Senate Committee on Intelligence and a National Counterterrorism Center. Is this the way to go, or could it create even bigger bureaucracies, something that we've seen, for example, with the Department of Homeland Security?
I think in general, there's no proposal in this report that looks like the idea of the Department of Homeland Security. There's no effort to merge tens or hundreds of thousands of people together. The intelligence czar, for example, would be one layer of additional oversight in much the same way that the Joint Staff or the Office of the Secretary of Defense oversee the Pentagon services. The committee structure in Capitol Hill, of course, involves a much smaller number of people, a few dozen members of Congress and senators, and then a few hundred staff. And so certainly the idea of rearranging some of these committees is not nearly the Herculean task that it would be to create a whole new department. It may or may not be a good idea, but I think it's a more tractable sort of concept than what we saw with the Homeland Security debate.
Well, the president tried to do that with the Terrorism Threat Integration Center, which is about a year old. How has that fared?
The TTIC is doing okay from what I've heard, but it's a little bit of an odd fellow in the government. It may not have quite the visibility or centrality or proximity to agencies that would have to provide it with the raw data. I still think it's probably been a useful first step forward. Whether or not this new idea of the 9/11 Commission is better, I'm not sure. I'm not sure it makes sense to create something within the FBI structure. If that's the proposal, that may be counting on too much cultural change within the FBI than we've seen possible so far.
Of course, the FBI and the CIA underwent close scrutiny in the report and were criticized. Also, the FAA and NORAD faced criticism in this report, and it looked like they're still having problems. During Ronald Reagan's funeral recently, a plane was almost shot down. A plane carrying a governor almost shot down when it went into protected airspace. So what's been done, if anything, to reorganize those agencies?
Well, I think there the bigger question is not reorganization, but procedures for reacting quickly, for creating no-fly zones. I think that we have a fairly simple structure organizationally and a logical one for handling American airspace. Procedurally and substantively, do they have the right policies in place? Do we need a larger no-fly zone around Washington, for example? Do we need to make sure that people within FAA are competently doing their job and transferring warnings from one part of the agency to another? But I doubt very much you would need a reshuffling of the bureaucracy or a creation of a new entity.
What about criticism of individuals and individual responsibility? The report stopped short in naming particular individuals, especially President Bush or President Clinton, as being solely responsible for the failures leading up to the attacks. However, during the hearings leading up to this report, many of those officials underwent vigorous scrutiny. I'm thinking of National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice, forced to repeat the title of that famous August 6th PDB, Osama bin Laden determined to attack within the U.S. So why did the commissioners stop short of saying, look, so-and-so, you particularly deserve some sort of singling out for not taking appropriate action?
There's two separate things going on here. One is you have to look hard at the historical record and ask, what could we have done differently, and what should we strive to do differently in the future? And also, you have to keep an open mind as to whether perhaps there was some negligence in the past when you're first unearthing all these documents. That's one aspect to the thinking and analytical process. The other aspect, however, is to try to be fair and say, listen, with hindsight, this is obviously all 2020. We know there was an attack coming. But let's try to put ourselves back in the circumstances of those policymakers. What really was known or knowable, and how much of an absolutely brilliant performance would it have taken to stop these attacks? I think the 9/11 Commission recognized that while some of the hijackers were known and could have been identified sooner and certain other steps could have been taken, it would have really required fairly brilliant work, really a lot of imagination, as they put it, to stop these attacks. And I think when you look at it from that point of view, even if you found a lot of things that might have been done differently and that perhaps should be done differently in the future, you still perhaps show a little more gentility and fairness and understanding in interpreting the actions of policymakers before 9/11, when we didn't exactly know or couldn't really have known what was coming.
Will we now be safer as a result of this report?
I think that this report will help, but I don't think that it should be seen as a radical milestone in our efforts to secure the nation. I think that in that context, its contribution is somewhat less, and its greater contribution is to begin to put in historical perspective what happened to us almost 3 years ago.
Michael O'Hanlon is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, and he joined us from Washington. Thank you.
Thank you very much.